Hello everyone, you're listening to IndieWood on KPC Radio, where we shine a light on local talent and show everyone what we love about this industry. And so all of you out there know, hey, we're not that pretentious. And today for our first guest, he's actually a rather special one because he's actually from this school. He's a part of the Pierce Film Club, has a bunch of films on his belt. And, well, they range from absurd films that will make you laugh to these wholesome, loving films, even a documentary he filmed in Nepal, which we will get into. He's just someone that you could just applaud. Angel Arouse, everybody.
Thank you, Steve.
How do you feel, Angel?
I feel good today. Today's been a good day.
So, Angel,
yeah.
Just to start us off, how about you tell us a bit about yourself as like a filmmaker?
Okay. Well, this is my first year at Pierce. I took about a year off, but I've been doing filmmaking for almost 5 years now, since high school. Because there was a film program at my high school that I enrolled in, and starting in that program, I really found that filmmaking was what I really cared about doing. Because before that, I didn't really have any hobbies or stuff I did. Like, I played video games and did homework, but then when I started doing filmmaking, I felt like, man, this is something I really love doing. Like, I love doing this kind of work.
So, but going on from that, what moment, like, could you describe the brief moment where you're just like, wow, this is what I want to do, or even cite, like, a specific film where you're like, this is my future?
I could tell you the moment. I know the moment where I knew what I wanted to do. It was after we wrapped the documentary we shot in Nepal, when we were showing it to an audience for the first time. Like, it felt like a big culmination of all our work, and hearing people that came up to me to talk about it afterwards, it was very I can't think of the right word, humbling. It was very it was just a really good experience having people talk to me about what I did and tell me that it affected them and that it was going to stick with them, because it made me feel proud of that.
Fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Could you actually give us like a rundown of the story about your documentary? The name is Gar, correct?
The name's Gar, yeah.
Okay.
Which is the Nepali word for home. And that started in, that started coming into focus in September of 2015, because we had a professor, or not a professor, it's high school. We had a teacher, Kimberly Mesadaya, and she had a friend who, he tried to get into politics, but ended up doing a lot of humanitarian efforts. His name is John Brooks, and he invited her to invite students to film a documentary in Nepal, because he's been traveling there since 2011 trying to help people in that country. So the heads of the film department, which were her and Patricia Estrin, they both chose, I think, 10 students. And out of those 10, like, six of us ended up going. And I was one of those. And so all of September, we spent just saving up money to be able to go. Not really doing that much planning, just trying to make sure we can actually go, which was very difficult, but completely worth it, because we were able to go and travel to Nepal for like 2 weeks and film in their small village for 3 days.
What I found interesting about that documentary is that you were filming them. Well, the objective was to build this home, and you filmed that, and at the same time, you guys were actually helping build that home, if I'm correct.
Yeah, yeah. We got engaged also, because, you know, it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, so we weren't just going to watch it happen. We were going to participate in it, which was really great, too, like being able to help make our mark there.
Well, that's what I find interesting, that you in high school have done something that people in their 20s strive to do, this foreign documentary, documenting something like humbling and small, and get you sit right before me right here with that in Nepal of all countries. And the one thing I just want to ask is, how does it feel to have that accomplishment?
I feel really grateful for the experience, because I feel like having an experience like that, going to like a third world country, because it's a very poor country, it was an experience that definitely left me more mature afterwards than I was before, you know, being a teenager growing up in the valley. Like, being able to go to Nepal, really grueling hikes in the Himalaya Mountains to get to the village. It was a 3-day trip to the mountain, to the village, and then 3 days staying there, and then 3 days hiking back. And just getting to meet everybody over there, talk to people with a translator, it definitely left me more mature afterwards, and that's what I'm most grateful for about it.
Now on the filmmaking side, mm-hmm. what did that... You, of course, you said that this was that moment that made you want to be a filmmaker. Mm-hmm. But when you look back on it, did this documentary solidify your style as a filmmaker, or just that you were going to be taking film more seriously, more than just recording videos?
So the question is, like, how this affected my future.
Yeah, how did this affect your future works, of course?
I think it definitely affected my future works in the way of, like I said, like, I felt like I was more mature mm-hmm. after coming out the other side of that trip. So I would like to think that that sort of carries into all the shooting that I do now, that it has a little bit more, I'm losing the word again, but that comes across on screen. Because before that, you know, it would be as simple as try to point the camera at it, try to get a cool angle. But now I feel like when I'm shooting, I try to, like, really show what it is that's in front of the camera, which sounds really dumb when I say it out loud, but that's sort of the idea when I'm trying to shoot. Like when we were shooting over there, I would try to not just point the camera, but try to, you know, really show what it is that, like, is happening in front of it, so that people watching it could get a feel for it too. Like, try to make this really a lens for the viewer to see what it is that's there.
Now, going on from your early filmmaking, would you say this documentary is the first film you took legitimately seriously as a filmmaker, or is there another one that you were saying, like, this is kind of my starting point as a filmmaker?
Well, before that documentary, let me try to think. So that was October of 2015 that we filmed that. So before that, there were like two or three other short films I worked on, but like I was saying before, those felt very like kiddie, very early high school projects, and this was definitely the biggest opportunity I had come across. So, like, not just because it was a big trip to Nepal, but because of all the difficulties and challenges of making that, it also matured me as a filmmaker that way, to be able to rise up to the challenges that come up with when filming.
Going on from that, what you said, challenges, what were, like, specific challenges that you faced with this? We always want to talk about.
So a couple, the challenges, there were different challenges through each stage of production. In pre-production, the biggest challenge was just getting the money to be able to go on the trip. So each of us had our own methods of raising money. What my family did was, at my grandma's house, she cooked like food for maybe 3 or 4 days in a row, just cooking meals to bring our family over so they could all donate a little bit of money to help fund the trip. So that, I felt really grateful for my whole family coming together like that. And during the production side of it, the biggest challenge was not having a clear goal of what we were going to do there, because we were so focused on just getting there that by the time we went there, we just shot whatever it was that we could. So that was challenging. And then afterwards, there were a lot of challenges too. Editing took about 5 months because we had over 500 hours of footage. And it was all like just seemingly random shots because, like I said, we just tried to shoot whatever it was that we could. So that was challenging, but I feel like I really came into my own as a leader there because we had this monumental task. Nobody knew how to deal with it. So I wanted to step up just because it was something that really, really mattered to me. And I wanted to make sure that I got done in a way that we would all be happy with.
Now, what I want to ask is there ever that moment that just goes through your mind where you doubt yourself? You're just like, wow, this is harder than I thought, or even going as far as, I can't do this.
When I'm making stuff now?
Yes, from the past then to now. Is there ever like a moment of doubt?
Let me think about the last couple projects I've been in. I think that right now I feel a lot better about that, but for a long time I would feel a lot of doubt, not strictly on the filmmaking side, but just, you know, different phases in general of my life. Like starting out college, I felt really like unsure about what direction I was heading and what I was doing. But right now, since I know that filmmaking is what I really love to do and what I'm really liking, what I'm really passionate about doing, I feel less shy about it because no matter what, I want to make it happen. So I try to take control and make sure it happens the way I want it to.
Speaking of taking initiative, you did recently just win the Skills USA regional competition. Would you like to, you know, tell us your story?
The Skills USA competition, I still don't know what Skills USA is, but I wanted to jump on top of the opportunity to make a film. Because, like I said, I just enjoy doing that sort of thing. So I signed up for it just because Professor Ken Windrum, the representative for the film club, he said, yeah, there's a competition for making films and we could get you guys in it. And I raised my hand and said, yeah, I'll do it. And then like 3 or 4 months later, I got an email saying, hey, in 3 days, have your film ready. So that it was really fun because me and Neiman, my partner on it, we pretty much, let me think, we got 9 hours of sleep across 4 days, writing the script, calling friends to act and donate props and stuff to us. And then we shot the whole thing in 24 hours, edited it in 5 hours the night before the competition. And then we showed up and it went really well.
A fascinating little tidbit of that is I noticed you did a viral marketing on Instagram. Would you like to tell us what that was?
Yeah, I made a fake Instagram account for the film. It didn't go viral or anything, but we just pretended that it went viral. Like, I think that we edited a like number onto it or something. Mm. But I have a fake Instagram account where I'll just change the account picture and name. So I just use that account to post hashtag fight for Wadia because the film was about these two bored rich kids trying to take over a third world country just because they have the money and time.
Modern filmmaking, people. Mm-hmm. So what another subject I want to get into is, have you found a specific genre that you feel like at home with or like something that solidifies your style?
So that's something that I'm still playing around a lot with. But when I'm writing a story or filming something, I try not to think about genre because the way that people are with their emotions, like emotions are really complex. Like, you know, if your dog poops on the floor, you love your dog, but you're going to feel angry too. So I try to think about that when I'm filming or writing, that, you know, it's not just a binary, this is a drama, this is a comedy. Like, it'll always have a little bit of other elements in it. Like, you know, in a comedy, there'll always be like, you're my best friend and you slept with my girlfriend. Like, there's always just like crossover. So I try to think about stuff being complex and not just being one way or the other.
Going on from that, is there a specific genre that influences you though? Not in that your work reflects that, but a personal like favorite genre and then that you enjoy emulating.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's a name for the genre, but I really like movies that have a really small story told with a really big scope. And what I mean by that is a movie like Mr. Nobody. Have you seen Mr. Nobody?
Yes, I have.
Mr. Nobody, I really like that movie because the premise is you're seeing all the different paths this guy's life can take, but the story is about how this kid deals with his parents separating. So it's a really small story told with these fantastical circumstances. And those are the kind of stories that I feel like I get the most influenced by.
Is there any specific filmmaker that like you look up to or say like, oh, he kind of has an impact in my life?
David Lynch is the first thought that I have when you ask that.
Auteurship, of course.
Yeah, just because when I watch a David Lynch movie, I really love David Lynch's movies as a visual experience. Like, when I finish the movie, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense by the end of it. But I just still feel, like, I still feel admiration. Just, man, like, this is just his pure idea out there on the screen for everybody to see. And that I feel really attracted to.
On the topic of Lynch, who is an auteur, what mm-hmm. do you define as an auteur in your perspective as a filmmaker?
In our tour, the captain of the ship, the person that every decision goes through to make sure that everything stays consistent and focused on the vision.
Would you say that one day you would like to be on our tour?
Yeah.
And could you like elaborate why you yourself are just drawn to this art tourship, this like image that defines you?
Well, part of that is because, so this is a story, a real quick story. On Christmas, my dad gave me a book titled Writing as a Path to Awakening. I looked at the title, I thought it sounded a little bit mystic, a little bit funny, but I started reading it and I was really actually surprised at the content of the book. The main point of the book, I'm still reading it right now, but the main point so far is that when you're writing or just being creative in general, that that's you being honest with yourself, because when you're writing, you're not writing lies, you're not writing stuff that isn't you, you're writing stuff that you're feeling, you're writing stuff that you know. So just the more that you're creative, the more that you're honest with yourself. And I want to just be as honest as I could be. And I think that's why I'm attracted to our tourship, just to make an honest, like, film, tell an honest story. Not like, you know, something like Star Wars Rogue One, where I think the director changed, the script changed like 9 times. Like, those kinds of movies, I really don't like when there's just so many hands it's being tossed around between.
Speaking about that, this connect is actually relating to our next big topic of the show is, what is your perspective of the mainstream industry in a positive light? What are trends that you've been seeing that Hollywood, or not even Hollywood, like European big productions that you're currently fond of, like films such as Lady Bird and going on from that?
I haven't seen Lady Bird. I don't know. I don't really keep up every day with stuff that's going on. But in recent times, like, something that I've been enjoying getting bigger is movies coming out online, like movies like on Netflix, on Hulu, on Amazon, because I really like that on that kind of platform, that people with a smaller voice or smaller teams can get the opportunity to reach a wide audience. Because in theaters, like, the movie industry, the film industry, you know, studios and movies are so big that in theaters you usually can't take big risks. And sometimes there are like movies that come out that are still like incredible, like Blade Runner 2049. I hated that movie when I watched it, but the more I thought about the movie after I left, I really liked it, just as a viewing and a visual and audio experience. So my answer to the question is, like, I like the online landscape that's growing, and in theaters, occasionally there are still movies that come out, but there isn't as much risk-taking with how big the movie industry is.
Now, would you say this online landscape is, like this perfect field for indie filmmakers such as yourself to get into this industry and make their name for themselves?
That's a difficult question, too, because online, there are a lot of different places that your content can be seen online. And, you know, on something like YouTube, for example, like, it's really hard to grow on a platform like YouTube, because, you know, big channels really stay big and get bigger, and it takes a long time to grow a following on YouTube uploading content, especially as a filmmaker, when it takes time to make films. And that's not really what people come to YouTube for, like, anyways. They come for, like, consumable, quick content, because, you know, that's also what YouTube favors on its systems.
Now, another thing I wanted to ask is, do you personally want to go with this online system for yourself rather than just being like, oh, well, I will just focus on making films for big theaters? Would you rather prefer just having all of your films be on Netflix, like, later on in life?
I'll take any opportunities that come to me. If I write a script and someone says, let's put that in the theater, I'll put it in the theater. And if I don't know, try to send it to Amazon or Netflix and they say, like, oh, we'll make this a series, I'll take that too. I just care about, like, just making stuff, because that's the part of it that I really like. So theaters, online, I'll still just try to be making stuff.
Agreeing with that sentiment of yours, it's a really nice sentiment. And do you think what you just said right now is a good way to break down that idea that people have that indie directors are these very like bourgeois, arrogant, self-absorbed filmmakers.
So on that note, I think every filmmaker is arrogant and egotistical and everything. And not just for filmmakers, but I think to get successful, really, really successful in any field, that person that becomes successful, they need to feel very self-important to think, I deserve this. I need to like become the biggest thing. So I think that like any sort of filmmaker and any sort of successful individual in something like entertainment, like they need to feel like they deserve it to get that big. Mm-hmm. So everybody that indie filmmaking, big filmmaking, there needs to be like just at least a little bit of a crazy part of you to be able to make it, I think. That's what I think.
Now, what would you say is your perspective on this idea that, well, big budget films are nothing anymore. It's all about the indie films. The indie films are the only films with integrity.
Well, not nothing, because feature films, a lot of them are still really great viewing experiences with the budgets that go into them. Like, there's a lot of incredible action, and there's a lot of incredible cinematography, special effects. But when people talk about, like, oh, there's, like, they're heartless, big feature films, it's just that, like I was saying earlier, there's no risk-taking with them. They tell sort of bland stories that anybody could agree with and like. Whereas an indie film, or not just an indie film, films, because there are still, like, risky films that come out in theaters every now and then. Something that, like, there was a person behind with, like, clear intention. Like, it might turn some people off, and some people might love it, but when there's just a clear vision, I think those are the best kind of films, not stuff like the Marvel movies, which are still really fun action and really great acting and everything. But, you know, it's just, they're made for everybody to like them. So I think that's where I feel the separation is.
Would you also say that's your perspective on the industry as a whole, that it's very safe and just no risk?
Well, for the biggest Hollywood feature film, for those types of movies, yeah, yeah, for sure.
Would you yourself want a change in that? And what change would that be?
That's a question I don't know the answer to, because it's a problem in a lot of industries, like the music industry getting really big, the video game industry getting really big. So all the biggest things that are pushed for are safe and usually, you know, they're made for the most people to like them.
It's
to make the most profit, since they're so expensive to make.
Well, that's the life of the market.
The only way that I could think of a solution to that is if companies decided they didn't need all the money in the world and they financed smaller projects that fewer people would like. But, you know, they want to make the most money possible.
Would you think that there will be not a drastic change, but a minor change though in the market, as we are seeing, again, going on films like Lady Bird, or even we even have superhero films like such as Logan, which are on smaller scale, being famous?
I think there's definitely going to be a big change in the next couple of years in the film industry, just because of the rise of the online landscape and like people being able to view movies online. Like, some feature films are already doing that, where they'll upload it online the same day. Like, the first one I think of is The Interview, which was a great trashy comedy with James Franco and Seth Rogen. But yeah, I think that to compete with like easy content that's available online, that movies have to do something differently in the next couple of years.
Okay, well, we have time for three short questions, and answer them as brief as and honest as you can.
Okay.
The first one is, what would you say to aspiring filmmakers who have done no to little work? What will you say to your fellow indie filmmakers? And what would you say to the higher-ups who, if they are, God forbid, watching right now, what would you say to them?
I'm going to need to answer those one at a time.
That's why.
The first one, aspiring filmmakers, get your phone, get a couple friends, just make something. Because it doesn't matter what it is, but just make something, and the more you make, the better you'll get at it. To independent filmmakers, find me. look me up. My name is Angel Arouse. Just look it up and find me somewhere. Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. so that we could talk. And to any big, what's the last one?
Just higher ups, you know, big studios.
Big
or
studio
big
higher
directors.
Ups. I don't know. If there was a guy sitting across from me right now, I'd tell him, you're making a lot of money. I don't know, maybe try making a lot of smaller projects that niche audiences like, rather than big projects that just general people like. I think cult followings are like stronger than just general audience anyway. That's
now
what
is,
I'd say.
Now, is there any other like plugins you want to give? Any people you want to promote yourself? Want to talk about your social media?
Yeah, my YouTube channel is called Arouse, AROUSE, which if you search that up, there's probably a lot of nasty videos that are going to come up, but none of them are for me. My channel is kind of hard to find because of that general name, but my name's Angel Arouse, so I thought I'd use it as part of the branding. My Instagram, Angel Arouse, Twitter, Angel Arouse, and that's the three main stuff that I use, SoundCloud, Arouse, and so yeah.
Okay, well, thank you for your time. Okay, everybody, that was Indie Wood with Steve Lopez on KPCRadio.com. I hope you've had fun, and next week, we're actually going to get into the technical side of filming.